blind actor Ellie Wallwork has carved out a successful acting career for herself on television, but she has her eyes set on a movie. So who better to tell us than Ellie herself? Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Ellie, what got you into acting in the first place, actually? Let's turn the clock back a little bit.
So it's actually a funny story. When I was in primary school, I think I must have been about 8, I actually took part in a little drama club, and I fancied myself quite the actress. I was quite a precocious child, I think is a nice way of saying it. And so I always sort of had an idea in my mind that I would be in a movie and I would be, you know, the greatest actress to ever live. But I was also 8. So when I turned 11, I studied Braille music, and my Braille music teacher said to me that there was an opportunity coming up for some blind actors or budding actors to be part of a project called Imagine. So that was the first film I was really in. And I'd sort of done a few other projects over the years, but it wasn't until I actually starred in Doctor Who that I realised that I could actually make some kind of career out of it.
So was music a kind of path you were looking at as well?
It was, yeah. I haven't really been very musical over the last few years, but when I was younger, certainly I learned how to play the piano. I knew Braille music. I couldn't tell you much about it now, but I used to be able to read it pretty well. And I also sang quite a lot and wrote my own songs as well. I'd love to get back into it at some point.
I'm a sci-fi fan myself. You know, I've been watching Doctor Who since I can remember. So when I heard there was going to be a blind actor on it, you know, I was really intrigued. You know, we have blind actors even in, you know, series like Star Trek now as well. But what was it like getting the call to say, come and test for it, and yes, you've got it?
So the first time I heard about it, we weren't actually told it was Doctor Who. It was major BBC drama. That was all we knew about it. And it was only when I got the audition script that I realised it was Doctor Who. And I remember this really clearly because I was in the car with my dad, who's a massive Doctor Who fan. I think he'd gone out to get some petrol or something. He came back and I said to him, look, I think you need to sit down because I got the audition and it's Doctor Who. And he didn't speak for about 5 minutes. Like, I can't overstate how big of a thing it was because there were so many people going for the role, so many people auditioning, and I knew that it was going to be really tough. And so I sort of tried as hard as I possibly could. I had friends going for the same role as well, which was quite nerve-wracking.
Did he send you off to Doctor Who with his autograph book for to get filled in as well?
No, sadly not. But he did come on set when we were actually filming for a day or so, which was really nice.
Nice experience. I mean, being on something like that, you know, such a mainstream show, was it nervous when you were filming?
Yeah, I was only 17 at the time and I had never done anything like it ever. And so it was really scary. I mean, it was really exciting, but there was a lot of pressure because I wanted to get it right. I didn't want to misrepresent anybody. I had to be incredibly secretive about it as well. You couldn't tell anybody. You couldn't really explain what was going on, where I had to have 3 weeks off school and I wasn't allowed to tell anyone why, apart from that I was filming something. So it was a lot of pressure. It was definitely worth it, but it was definitely very nerve-wracking because it was the first big thing I'd ever done.
I think I'd find it really difficult not to tell anyone. I think that'd be a struggle.
Yeah, it really was.
You played a blind character in the series as well, but she was a real go-getter as well, wasn't she?
Yes. Yeah. So her name was Hannah. She was a blind Norwegian girl. She was about 14, I think. And I saw a lot of myself in her when I was acting. And there was a lot of anger there. There was a lot of frustration. And I remember being a teenager and how difficult that actually was for me. And so I was able to channel that. It wasn't even that far off from when I was filming. You know, I was only 17. So it was sort of all of those emotions were still quite close to the surface.
And you've also been in Call the Midwife again, you know, another hugely popular TV series.
Yes, that was different as well because I was pregnant in that one. Obviously, fake pregnancy. I've never been pregnant. But the reception for that was really, really off the charts as well. I mean, Doctor Who was really intense. But with Call the Midwife particularly, I had people approaching me and saying, like, as a blind mum, thank you for representing us. And I was sort of like, but I've never had children. And I was sort of really overwhelmed by how much of an impact it had. And there have been compilations of the episode on TikTok, for example, that people have sent me and they've been like, this is you acting on TikTok, like what is happening? And so, you know, it's still making the rounds even now.
Is it a really positive thing then to sort of think to yourself, well, you know, these casting directors or TVCs or movies, they're actually actively looking for blind people now? You know, it may not necessarily be to play a blind character either, but, you know, is it a good step in the right direction if you know, a small step?
It's incredible. I mean, the fact is that 10, 20 years ago, it was so rare to have anybody represented authentically. So you'd have a blind character played by a sighted actor, and that was just normal. People were just like, oh, well, it's just acting. But the more that you cast blind actors in visually impaired roles, the more that it becomes normalized. And I think that's so important. And so I'm really glad and almost proud that I can be part of that movement, even a little part of it.
Do you think it even helps to break down some of the sort of stereotypes around sight loss as well? Because, you know, even going back to your Doctor Who character, you know, she was feisty. She was not for sinking back into the shadows or anything like that.
I hope that I've helped. I hope that I've at least shown people that blindness wasn't just the only thing that was part of my character. So, for example, like you were saying, Hannah was feisty. Marion, the character I played in Call the Midwife, she was really, really determined to be the best mother that she possibly could. And it wasn't just because of her blindness, it was because of her personality.
Great successes on TV, Ellie, but you've now turned your attention to something bigger, and you've got plans for a movie.
So it's a short film. It's called Picturesque. I'm working with an amazing director and scriptwriter called Will Hextall. We are both writing the script together. I'm helping with production as well. So being able to be involved right from the start is honestly all I could ever ask for, because, like I said before, authentic representation is really important. And that's not just going to come from the actors. That also has to come from all levels of the production. I've always wanted to be involved in a short film that celebrates both blindness and LGBTQ plus identities, because I'm part of both of those communities. And so when he approached me saying, hi, Ellie, I've got a film that I want to pitch. It's about a blind LGBTQ character. I was sort of like, wow, this is all I've ever wanted. This is fantastic. And so it's sort of a marrying up of ideas. And at the moment we're writing a script, and it's really incredible to have my ideas treated seriously and understood.
Great, as you say, to be involved, you know, in all aspects as well, not just the acting. So again, you know, really showcasing the talent, or your talent, and indeed the talent that's out there. You know, if people would look to, you know, writers or production or direction and think, you know what, that there are probably blind people out there who can do the
Exactly.
job just as well, if not better.
Yeah. I mean, you'll even have visually impaired cinematographers, writers, directors, producers. We're everywhere, and I think it's really important to use that talent, like you were saying, and to make sure that it's not just the acting that's representative. If you've got a script that's not representative of anybody, an actor will have to just deal with it. We won't be able to change it. But if you've got a script that's been written from the get-go with us in mind, and even us being consulting on it or writing it ourselves, that's when you get a really, really representative film.
So the film itself, what's the story? What's involved?
So the premise is that you've got a blind girl who kind of isn't in a very happy relationship with her girlfriend. She's sort of thinking about breaking up with her girlfriend, and it opens with Mills, who's our main character, forgetting that it's their 1 year anniversary. And it's all about redemption and thinking about disability in certain ways, because so often you don't see films with disabled characters who are in relationships, and you also don't see them in nuanced relationships, because not every relationship is 100% great. And there's a lot of frustration within the film about expectations. So, for example, Rhea, who is Mills's girlfriend, doesn't really understand Mills's blindness as much as Mills wants her to. And Mills doesn't really understand that Rhea might have other expectations of their relationship. And I think the most important thing about the film is that it's about humanity and about learning to embrace love and disability at the same time. They're not two disparate concepts. You can have both.
Forgetting the first anniversary, that is a no-no.
It's really awkward. It's honestly, we've had a couple of ideas about the script initially, and we sort of decided, well, actually, we want to kind of simplify it. We want to make sure that it's pared down as much as possible. And the idea of forgetting someone's anniversary, that is so awkward. It's such a big jumping off point, because if you forget your anniversary, there's something wrong. There's something going on in the relationship that maybe you need to have a look at.
So what stage are you at just now? You obviously got the idea, you're getting the people together. What point are you at the moment?
We are going to be launching a campaign pretty soon to be able to raise funds for the film. We're going to be launching it on this platform called Greenlit, which is it's a little bit like Kickstarter, but it's specifically for creative projects. And they're really amazing, actually. They've got really behind our project and they seem really supportive. So we're going to be asking people for donations and to share the campaign as well. And it's just so that we can get as many people behind it as possible and so that we can raise the funds that we need for the film.
Sounds a really exciting project. It
I'm
really
so
does.
excited. I actually can't wait.
Is there somewhere that people can get more information in, Ellie, if they want to learn more about the movie and sort of getting involved in supporting it?
Yes, so we've got social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So you can follow all of them. It's Picturesque Film 2023. And also, we're probably going to make a link tree at some point soon, which will link to all of our social medias.
Ellie, do keep in touch with us. Let us know how things are progressing. Sounds like, I mean, we'd love to
Definitely.
follow it. It's a great story. And thank you for telling us all about it on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me.